This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined by Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malcolm-Risen, Secretary of Health. I'll let Dr. Clayton give today's case update, and then we will take your questions. I'll turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning. Today we are reporting 73 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 9 new hospitalizations and 2 new deaths, one among a Minnehaha County resident and one among a Pennington County resident. In total, we've had 122 new recovered individuals, as well as 839 new negative tests that have been performed. Our totals include 4,250 COVID-19 cases that have been identified in the state. Of those, 1,057 are active infections, and 3,145 individuals have recovered from the disease. We are reporting a total of 91 hospitalizations currently, and a total of 48 deaths that have occurred. We have 27,051 total negative tests that have been performed since we began testing in the state. And updates for our community impact map include Aurora and Oglala Lakota counties being elevated to the minimal to moderate community spread. For new cases by county, we include 12 that are from Aurora, 11 from Beadle County, 10 from Brown, 3 from Coddington, 1 from Grant, 2 from Gerald, 2 from Lincoln, 1 from Lyman, 1 from Marshall, 1 from Meade, 13 from Minnehaha, 15 from Pennington, and 1 from Union. For new cases by age range, we have 7 in the 0 to 19-year age category, 13 in the 20 to 29-year age category, 17 in the 30 to 39-year age category, 12 in the 40 to 49-year age category, 13 in the 50 to 59-year age category, 5 in the 60 to 69-year age category, 5 in the 70 to 79-year age category, and 1 in the 80 and older category. For new cases by sex, we have 36 that are male and 37 that are female. For our deaths, we have 2 that have occurred in Beadle County, 1 in Gerald, 1 in McCook, 41 in Minnehaha, and 3 in Pennington County. For deaths by age range, we have 2 in the 30 to 39-year age category, 1 in the 40 to 49-year age category, 7 in the 50 to 59-year age category, 7 in the 60 to 69-year age category, 5 in the 70 to 79-year age category, and 26 in the 80 and older. For deaths by sex, we have 23 males and 25 females.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to unmute the lines, and then we will take your questions.
Yes, JP from KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Dr. Clayton, could you please update us about whether or not the new cases in Aurora County are community spread, or are they tied to a particular business there?
So several of those new cases from Aurora County are considered community spread. Those are identified or reflected in the change to minimal to moderate activity within the community impact map. And so we continue to conduct investigations for some of the existing, the rest of the remaining cases, both in Aurora County and in other counties, to identify whether the cases are community spread or maybe associated with a specific exposure.
Next question.
Thank you.
Beth Warden with Dakota News Now.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, what is your role in testing with nursing homes, and what is the timeline that you expect the nursing home testing to be taking place?
Beth, this is Kamal Simrise, and so we are working actively with long-term care facilities across the state. We have nursing homes and nursing homes with attached assisted living centers, in two different tiers based on where they're located. And if they are in a county with substantial community spread, they are engaging in testing this week into early next week. The second tier of nursing homes would be all those nursing homes in other counties, and they will then commence testing next week for an approximate one-week time period. The third and fourth weeks then will focus on assisted living centers, again, the first week being those assisted living centers in counties with substantial community spread, and then the fourth week, all other assisted living centers. We are working with those facilities to ensure that they have PPE, as well as helping them with fit testing if they're using N95 masks. We are also helping connect them up with laboratories that can actually do the testing for their facility if they don't have that already in place. And then we are paying for the cost of the laboratory testing.
Thank you. And is the staff being tested as well?
That's correct. The testing is for residents and staff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question.
Jeremy, can you hear me? Jeremy, can you
hear me? Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, so I've been contacting everybody in the state that does testing, including Sanford, Avera, obviously the
Make
state
sure
lab, and
mine is
to a small degree. And I'm struggling to get to the 3,000 test number that the governor referenced three and a half weeks ago. I'm getting up to about 2,100 and maybe 2,700 if you include additional capacity coming in from the state lab. And also Sanford and Avera are also testing. Some of their testing capacity goes to outside the state testing as well. So I'm just curious to know where that 3,000 in-state testing capacity number came from and what our goal is to get there.
Jeremy, this is Kim Altermeisen. So the 3,000 number came from information that we have from all of our testing partners across the state, and it also includes their capacity to work with labs outside of the state of South Dakota. So I'm not sure what information you were getting, but it would include IHS, VA, Sanford, Avera, Monument, those systems, partners outside of their own systems, and so as well as the state health lab.
So we capacity for outside the state labs, right?
Right. It's capacity for South Dakota residents to get tested, not necessarily only by in-state labs.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jeremy Gutierrez with News Center 1 here.
Go ahead.
Hi, I just had the question. What is the difference in the testing between the swabs and the nasal one? And are you guys using the Avid technology for that?
So there is some difference between the nasopharyngeal swab, which is a deeper specimen collection than just the anterior part of the nose, so there is a little bit of difference in the samples overall, the swabs that are used, and so on. And what it really comes down to is whether the laboratory is validated to test we're using the nasopharyngeal swab versus the nasal swabs, and you know what viral transport media the swabs come to them in. And so those are a couple different factors, and the laboratory that receives those tests has to validate against their ability to detect virus within those samples before they're considered validated for that testing. What I can say is that at the State Public Health Laboratory, we are using the CDC-based PCR test that was originally rolled out, and that we are not using the Abbott ID now. Those are more designed for point-of-care testing. So are in some hospital settings as well as IHS service units. And so we do continue to look both at the public health laboratory and with all of our healthcare partners at new technology that's coming out on the market that increases our capabilities around testing. And so those are some of the a litany of existing manufacturers and of different platforms that are out there for other tests that are now moving into COVID-19 testing.
Next question.
All right, thank you.
Jeff, please.
CBN and KOTA. The testing numbers, the negative test numbers in Pennington County had been relatively low, but I see today they jumped by 303. Is that the result of a mass testing event here? And if so, how is that impacting the higher case numbers that we're seeing here now?
So to my knowledge, that does not reflect any mass testing events in the Pennington County area.
They're not
what
using Abbott right
the
now. They say that's for like more like
hospitals,
community health service and stuff like that. They didn't really specify why that's just for hospitals.
Phone is not muted. Please mute your phone if you're not talking.
One is a fever specimen sample and not necessarily in effectiveness. Like, there wasn't much of a difference. It's just what hospital is with them.
There is someone who's unmuted.
Yeah, that's what at least what he said. It's just which hospital gets which one.
Yeah,
it's like their choice.
And then we'll unmute.
No, I mean, because one seems like it goes like in your brain. The other one's just the edge, so.
Dr. Clayton, finish your
response. Please, everyone, mute your line. So, answer is, are not aware of any specific mass testing event in the Pennington County area. I think some of that is reflective of increasing cases that we're seeing, and that helps, drive testing of both individuals that have, both that may have symptoms, as well as general interest in individuals in seeking medical care for symptoms that they may have had that might be COVID-related.
Next question.
This is Lisa.
This is
Joseph
Barkoff from the Capital Journal, please.
Go with Lisa from the Argus Leader.
Just wondering if you guys have had a case yet that uses the CARE-19 app, and just wondering, why you think not a lot of cases are using that.
So, we have not had an individual who has had the CARE-19 app engaged that we could actually use their location information. So what I would say is that, we have probably among the highest coverage for a specific app for the population for those tracing services, our location services. Still have not identified a single case, and what I would say is that seems to be pretty common among other states from different news reports that I've seen.
Okay.
Next question.
This is Joseph Barkoff from the Capital Journal, please.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Thanks. Good morning, y'all. So I'm, going to check when I go back to the recording, but is this the second case in the 30 to 39 age group, and was there pre-existing condition? Can you confirm or deny? And then also, pretty please, can you give an update on the Smithfield and Demcoda numbers, please? Thank you.
So you are correct that this is we have two deaths that are being reported. Individuals, what age groups they were in, but what I can state is that one individual in that 30 to 39 year age group had underlying medical condition that did contribute to their death. The other person did not have underlying medical condition, so that is something that has been investigated and confirmed. The other piece around testing, so we have still 841 of the 853 Smithfield cases that have recovered, as well as 245 of the 245 close contacts that have recovered. And currently with Demcoda, we have 86 out of the 130 cases that have recovered.
Okay, we have time for one more question.
Yes, JP from KORN News. Bill.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Could you give us an update on the total number of cases at the Dakota Provisions Plant in Huron? Have been any changes since yesterday?
We have reported out that we do have cases within Dakota Provisions, and we're actively working with the management there to evaluate their existing practices around precautions that they're taking to limit individual or any potential risk for COVID-19 transmission, because the facility is not in general, kind of open to the public. And we're looking at just those who are part of any potential worker, and that this is not considered a cluster. And so we just want to make sure that there's recognition that we're actively working with that partner, to make sure that they are taking appropriate precautions to minimize any potential impact or transmission to their staff.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all for joining us, and we'll visit with you tomorrow.